Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. When the Lord Jesus was on the cross and His blood flowed out from His body, He said, "It is finished." His blood had paid the price that God required. We read in the book of Revelation of those who washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. It is that blood that we need, and that blood alone that cleanseth from all sin. The last stanza, "Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." Just think of that. Be saved to sin no more. That's what's going to take place when the last one is gathered in and Christ takes all those for whom He died, all those who believe in Him, to heaven, to sin no more. Reading Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 22. Here we read the words of Christ, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and the chief priests, and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And He said to them all, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world, and lose himself, or be cast away. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. We have here solemn words. First of all, the gospel, Christ's suffering, death, resurrection, by which alone we can be saved, justified from all of our sins. And then we have his call to us to work out our salvation. As Paul said to the Thessalonians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And along with it, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's pray that God will work that gospel, that salvation, in every one of us. First of all, by the new birth, being born of the Spirit, and then by the Word of God, bringing us to repentance toward God and faith toward Christ. Our Father, we come to thee on thy throne, through him who is on thy right hand, who has been given a name that is above every name, because of his willingness to humble himself, to take on him the form of a man, though he thought it not robbery to be equal with thee, and then humbled himself to the death of the cross. Then thou dost tell us, Father, because of that, therefore he has given a name which is above every name. Help us rightly to realize it. Help us to know the great and awesome difference between our names, the names of sinners, and him who is one with thee, the Holy God. We pray that thou would teach us these things from thy word, by thy Spirit leading us into all truth. First of all, convicting us of our sin and unbelief, and then taking the things of Christ and revealing them to us, teaching us even by thy holy law, making it a schoolmaster to bring us to thyself guilty and to Christ for a pardon, for righteousness. We pray, Father, in his name that thou wilt still call many from darkness to light today, that thou wilt also revive the church, that thou wilt make it one, as thou dost pray for many times before thy death, and giving us the reason that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ. We pray these things in his name, that we might be taught rightly to pray, that we might pray as Lord Jesus, you taught us, to hallow our Father in heaven, to want thy kingdom, Father, to come, thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that that may be done in each one of us, myself and all those who listen. We pray that thou wilt lead us to thyself through Christ by thy word, that thou wilt give us all that we need in all the teaching of thy word, that we might begin rightly in it, and we might do as thou hast said, Lord Jesus. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. We will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We pray that thou also make us willing to then deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow thee, that we may know that it only brings blessing. All thy ways are a way of blessing for us, even those that are persecuted. Thou hast said they are blessed, and help us to see it, that they are the ones of the end of these words here that thou hast spoken. They shall see thy kingdom, and we pray that each one of us might be made to see it today, that those who have not yet been born of thy Spirit, who have not yet repented and believed, that they might see themselves outside of that kingdom, and they might be made willing and able to enter into that kingdom as well as to see it. We pray, Father, thou would teach the church, that it would teach these things in right doctrine, that it may be one in doctrine and then one and preaching the gospel to every creature. We pray, Father, for these blessings, first of all, that thy kingdom might come, that thy will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. We also pray, as thou dost further teach us, Lord Jesus, give us this day our daily bread. We give thanks for those of us who have daily bread, more than enough. And we pray for those who are in hunger, those especially that are starving and dying, that they might have thy word before the hour of death, that they might learn before that time that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from thy mouth. We pray, Father, for those that are homeless, those that are persecuted, those that are in sorrow, those in sickness and injury. We pray especially, Father, for those in war-torn lands, the terribleness of it. We pray that thou wilt lead us and our nation, leading our leaders to have a fear of thee, which is the beginning of wisdom, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. And we pray for those, Father, who do not have that, that there might be a return to it, if it could be thy will. We pray all of this and give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. As we look at these words once again, we have read them last week, and I'd like to read them again, especially with the emphasis on the last part. I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. As we said last week, it's sometimes rather hard to know exactly in the context, in the setting, what is being taught, what is being described as the kingdom of God. We read when the Lord Jesus began to preach that he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." It was there through the preaching of the gospel. It was there, as he said, at hand. Other places we read, the kingdom of God has come, and here shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Probably the first thought would be the kingdom of God as it is in Christ's return, that they wouldn't taste of death till then. And like some thought of John, when the Lord Jesus spoke that if he tarry here till I come, what is that to thee? Saying it to Peter. And they said, is he going to live till Christ comes back? He leaves and then comes back again. And Christ said he did not say that. But what if it were true? When I see this here, and I think of these apostles to whom it was said, all of them died under persecution, probably except John. And some say he died also as a martyr. But the rest died under persecution. They were willing to do that, as we read here. If any man will come to me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. If we go to the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 5, we call the blessed the Beatitudes. There are the many. And each one ends with a promise. The first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think we could say that the word kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is used interchangeably. Sometimes we see it in the same context. Then we have other things promised to the other ones that are blessed. They are comforted. They will inherit the earth. They will be filled. They shall obtain mercy. They shall see God. They shall be called the children of God. And then we come to those who are persecuted, the last ones that are described as blessed. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I've often thought of it when thinking of the parable of the sower, the wayside hearers, the good ground hearers, different settings. The good ground hearers have three different degrees of blessing.
the 30, the 60, and the 100. Could it be that those that have the 100 in fruit are the ones that are persecuted for righteousness' sake? They deny themselves wholly. They've given themselves wholly to God's way. They're ready to die. They've accomplished what they needed to do in denying themselves, taking up their cross, and following Christ. There have been some, when they were persecuted, that denied the gospel and were horribly guilty later. They felt terrible. And then sometimes some of them were again persecuted the second time. And then they were true to the Lord Jesus and died. Theirs is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. We can probably understand these words in that way, as we have them here spoken by Christ. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Some of those that have died saw wonderful things. They spoke wonderful things. They sang. They truly saw the kingdom of God, that of which the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A little bit later, the same night, when Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We might say two different things. Born again, Christ said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So the born again takes place by the Spirit. Not everybody knows that. Not everybody teaches that. I've had times that I've heard on the radio that a man would say, speaking of the new birth, speaking of being born again, God is powerless unless you let him. I've seen it in black and white, teaching on the new birth, as they have it as a doctrine. That is often the way it is thought of. When people say, are you born again? They're really saying, did you do this? Did you born yourself, is what they're really saying. It would be as much wrong to say to a baby, are you born? Or if you say to a baby, your mother is powerless unless you let her give birth. The baby would never be born. It isn't in the hands of the baby, though they are wonderful little hands that are sadly often killed in the mother's womb without being born rightly and alive. But when we have the new birth, we have it spoken of, and we might say some slightly different ways by the Spirit. When James speaks of it, we might say he is really speaking of it by the Word. We read in James chapter 1, verse 18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Here in Luke chapter 9, we have what those first fruits must be. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. When we have the new birth described by John in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we can really say there that it is of God. Many want to use John chapter 1, verse 12, as if we give ourselves the new birth. We read there in that 12th verse, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If we only read that, we might draw that conclusion. Those receive power that believed on his name, as if they did that by their volition, by their own will. But it's only part of the sentence, the rest of which is the next verse, which were born again, which were born not of blood. We don't inherit it. And like some want to make covenant children as if they have the same faith as their father, Others would say, God doesn't have grandchildren. He has only children, born of the Spirit and by the Word. And here, continuing in that 13th verse, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's not the will of the flesh, not what we do in any works, or not even by our own will, not the will of man, but of God. The emphasis seems to be in the third chapter with Nicodemus, born of the Spirit. Here, born of God. And James says, begotten again by the word of truth. We don't have to ask which one is true or which one is right. And as we have been considering what Scripture often says concerning Christ, this is truth. Christ said, I tell you a truth. We can say the truth of the new birth includes the Spirit, the Word, God Himself. It's all manifests itself when God calls us from darkness to light, from Satan to Himself. Also, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, we might say two references to the new birth. John chapter 6, verse 37, we read, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We probably made reference already earlier in prayer that thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, as David speaks of it in Psalm 110. Here, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. For that coming, the Spirit will have worked. For that coming, the Word will have been made known. As we can see also in the same chapter, a little further in the chapter, we read verse 45, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Heard and learned. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All of it is included, including what we read, Luke chapter 9. If a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it. There's a way in which the word is being believed, sometimes in part, sometimes what we call temporary faith, that we don't want to deny ourselves, and we lose what we've had. We've lost what we've been given. That's true, as we mentioned the parable of the sower a little while ago, the wayside hearer, the shallow ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, and then the good ground hearer, bringing forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And we may say again that especially those of the 100-fold are probably the ones who are persecuted and die for Christ's sake. Dies, many of them, at the stake, many of them in other ways. We can say that the kingdom of God manifested itself in a wonderful way at the Reformation. But sadly, very sad, doubly sad, many died. And died at the hand of what was called the church. Both Catholic and Protestant killed others that professed the faith. I think many times we believe that we are in the last days, perilous times, and that we have what Paul is writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That is not a manifestation of the kingdom of God. That is a way that Paul also speaks of in the last days, they will not endure sound doctrine. And especially that phrase in the third verse, false accusers. There were false accusers, sadly, at the Reformation. One man is described as writing about others, and it said every time he wrote, this year he would write, another year he would write, and every time it got worse of those he was describing. I would fear that he was a false accuser. I'm afraid that sometimes those that were better than the murderers were killed. They were ones that denied themselves, took up their cross, and followed him. In fact, one of those at that time, when he was put on the rack and when he was persecuted, he denied and he felt terrible. Again, he was taken, and the second time he did not deny, but he died at the stake. And we may believe that then he had the kingdom of God. He saw it, and also we may believe could enter in. We have to repent of that. One of the churches has acknowledged in their ways of killing others that they had to repent. The terrible things that took place. Sometimes it was by government, but many times in the church. And that persecution has raged even in our land of the free and the home of the brave, as we sing it. Many were put in prison. Many had their property taken away because they would be fined. They couldn't pay it, have their property taken away. Some had to be driven out of one state to another state, all in this country. We need to say with Daniel, we and our fathers have sinned. And if we don't, we're not denying ourselves. We're trying to save ourselves, but we'll lose ourselves. Because if we are false accusers, we are liars. And all liars go into the lake of fire. We have to be careful as well in our politics that we aren't false accusers, both the church and government. Government were warned as well by God writing through Paul that there's no powers that be but are of God. If anyone resists the powers that be of God, they shall receive damnation. I've said it before, but it bears repeating because there's much resistance against what God has given us in government. We might say better than any other government in the world. People want to come here by the thousands. We struggle with knowing who to let come. And well, we know for them and for us, there's one answer. Christ dying and rising again. We, being born again, believe it rightly to the saving of our soul. And then denying ourselves, taking up our cross. And if some of us die under persecution, we will see the kingdom of God.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.